Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. The NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Well, wonders never cease, because Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly joined today by, yes, none other than Fred Kirsch.
I think I have to spend more time listening to those openings. What's going on down here?
Day three of Patriots training camp, six practices in.
Yep.
And Freddie, you're here joining me on a Saturday, on a, what turned out to be a pretty newsworthy Saturday.
Yeah, it started out with, we thought Bill Belichick was going to come to the podium, then it was Nick Caserio, and then Nick Caserio turned into Bill Belichick again to have an announcement about retirement.
Yeah, it wasn't Derek Burgess, who's been rumored to be retiring, but it was in fact David Patton, veteran wide receiver who's in his second go-around with New England.
Yeah.
Not really a surprise that he's not going to be with the team for the rest of the year, because I didn't really think that he was going to have a future this year with the team, but just kind of a surprise that it happened when it did.
It did, but, you know, when you think about it, he's had a long career, and he looked at the landscape and probably said, I'm not going to make it.
Mm.
Why am I going to go through all this? And like he said, you know, he called them knickknacks, but basically taking care of all the little bumps and bruises that you have every day. And if you know you're not going to make the roster after you've, you know, evaluated your chances, you know, go out with some dignity. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get cut, you know, like a veteran like that. So I think he did the right thing, and I think he believes he did the right thing. I don't think there was any remorse in his announcement whatsoever.
No, but the thing that struck me, Fred, was, you know, typically when a player gets to be around his age in any sport, basically, their reasoning is, you know, my mind still says I can do it, but my body is telling me otherwise.
It was the opposite.
Patton was just the opposite. Yeah. He says, no, I'm fine. I can do it physically.
Yeah.
It's just mentally, I don't have it in me anymore.
Right. Even then, I don't think he would have made the roster.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. So it doesn't really, his announcement doesn't really affect how this competition is going to play out at that spot, because he was in a battle as it was, as we said.
Yeah, I think when they signed him, we all said, well, you know.
Right, for what?
It's nice, but he's not going to make it.
But he came in with the intention of trying to compete and make the team, but, you know, turns out.
And it was nice because Belichick showed how much respect he had for him because of what he's done for this organization and in his career. And, you know, you won't be seeing that type of press conference for Derek Burgess. You know, it's only select people that Belichick does that for, Teddy Bruschi.
And, you know, in all fairness, people might forget because it's been so long, but he was a part of all three of those Super Bowl teams.
If
it weren't for his catch against Pittsburgh in the AFC title game, and almost the exact same catch in the Super Bowl a week later,
yeah, it was the same play.
You know, who knows what would have happened with the Patriots.
And, you know, who could forget his triple-fecta?
Against the Colts. Right, October of 01.
Yeah.
Threw for a touchdown, ran for one, and passed for one.
Yeah.
Caught a touchdown.
One. Yep. So that was how the day started, and then the practice got moved back to 10 o'clock instead of 9:30.
Right, and it was a walkthrough. Two a days, but the first one was a walkthrough, so really nothing to report from that.
Nothing to report there. Sirius NFL was in town.
Yes.
Tim Ryan, Pat Kerwin.
Right.
And they interviewed Tom Brady, Lawrence Maroney, Julian Edelman, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick. So if you had Sirius today, you really had a treat.
You heard some of the interviews?
I was here for the Brady and Maroney interview. Brady talked a lot about football, you know, all the things that a quarterback has to, you know, look at when he comes to the line, you know, because Ryan played the game. Kerwin was a GM. So they knew the questions to ask. A little bit of contract talk, but not much at all. Those questions have been answered. It was more X's and O's.
So no real difference in answers about the contract from yesterday.
There was some overall CBA talk and how, you know, now Brady being a union rep, how that might affect him. And, you know, he really stuck to pretty much what he said before as far as his outlook on what's going on. But one interesting thing he did say when it came to, you know, the contract that Bradford just signed.
The $50 million guaranteed, $86 million.
You know, they kind of pressed him as to whether or not he thinks that, you know, rookies should get that much. And Brady, you know, really played it diplomatically. He said, look, as long as the money's going to the players, I don't really care. You know, would it be better to go to the vets? Yeah, but not at the expense of spending less. You know, because a lot of times these rookie contracts dictate veteran contracts. They write, you know, so he had the good union answer there.
Right. So on to housekeeping for the second practice of the day. There were 10 players who either weren't there at all or were there in a shorts and T-shirts capacity doing rehab-type activities with the medical staff. Run through that real quick. The people who weren't there at all, Matthew Slater, Derek Burgess, of course, Logan Mankins, of course, Nick Kazier, who that's starting to get me a little concerned, and Ty Warren, also a little bit of a concern there. The guys who were there but were working out, Brett Lockett, Thomas Clayton, Kyle Love, rookie, Wes Welker, and Ron Brace. Darnell Jenkins, who had been part of that group, returned, was in full pads, took part in the entire practice. So that was the one bit of good news from the medical standpoint.
Yeah.
Overall, Fred, I thought it was a little bit – this sixth practice now, I thought was – and the entire day was sort of the least excitable practice of the four, the least spirited, if you will.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot of goal line work, and that's usually the thing that brings up the spirits a lot. They did have a little thing at the end – where I think the defense was challenging the offense, and they got into the red zone and to that final play, and Lawrence Brony
offense kind of won that one.
Yeah, Lawrence Brony ended up popping it in. So there was some kind of bet going on there because Brady got into the face of, in a fun way, to the face of a lot of defensive guys after that play. So offense won something because of that last play, which Maroney got the ball into the end zone.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right. A lot of it was passing drills you know, the usual stuff we see. Guys standing out, you know, I have to say, other than Moss, I think the second best receiver on the field right now is Taylor Price. That's just what I'm saying. I think
he's been consistent.
He's been consistent.
I'll give you that. I've seen Taylor. I've seen Brandon Tate make some spectacular catches and drills.
Tate had a nice catch today, as a matter of fact.
But he offsets that with a couple of weird drops here and there.
Yeah.
But he seems to be making progress.
Yeah, through the six practices, the second best receiver on the field to me is Taylor Price.
What about Edelman?
Edelman's been off and on. You know, I think Edelman is, you know, we expect Wes Welker because he's playing that role. And, you know, he had a couple drops today. But, I you know, Edelman would be number three. He would be the third receiver. But I think the number two receiver right now that has, you know, can go short, go long, has shown that he's running all the patterns and catching all the balls, to me, is Taylor Price.
And, you know, that's not too far-fetched, I'd have to say. I think he's been very consistent. He's made some great catches. He's gotten open.
Right. And the reason, you know, I'm talking about the third slot here because obviously when Welker comes back, he's the number two receiver.
Yep.
But I think right now he's emerged as a candidate for number three. Torrey Holt has made a couple catches, but they're not
hasn't
throwing the
out.
Ball as much to him.
Right.
I think they know what they have in Holt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really working Edelman and they're working Price and Tate.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I think maybe you're right. A couple of other interesting little drills that we saw today that were sort of new wrinkles to training camp, hadn't really seen before. Wide receivers and defensive backs normally go one-on-one, but they have a quarterback throwing to them. Before they did, they actually did that drill, but before that, they didn't have a quarterback throwing, and it was mostly just about getting separation within the first 10 yards or so from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Just to basically drill on getting open and seeing who could fight for position better.
Yeah.
And it was pretty balanced, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
I mean, it's pretty hard to tell.
You don't know
when
the ball's going to be released and that kind of thing.
Right, but as far as just getting open and getting position, it was a pretty balanced matchup.
Yeah.
And then on the far field at one point, there were three groups of either interior linemen or like tackles, tight ends types, who were practicing running game stuff. Well, they did a series where there were the three groups lined up. One was on the numbers, one was in the middle, one was on the other numbers, and they would just take turns snapping the ball, giving it to the running back, and it was just a fight between the big guys at the line of scrimmage to just see who could overpower people.
Yeah.
Nothing really stood out as far as dramatic plays, but it was just an interesting thing that we never had seen before. As soon as one play would end, the next one would get to the line and snap, and it was just sort of a progression like that.
Yeah, so one walkthrough, one full pads practice today, two more practices tomorrow.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. The weather was great today, mid-70s, you know, a little overcast, but no rain, nice and cool. I think, exactly what the players want.
Right. Yeah. And if it's any indication, Monday night is the season ticket holder only practice,
right,
which is the practice inside the stadium, which is typically they're in pads, but they don't really go full tilt hitting,
yeah,
like they normally do. So my guess is tomorrow we'll see probably two more very active practices,
yeah,
and maybe sort of a lighter, maybe not a walkthrough, but maybe like an uppers practice in the morning
Monday morning.
And then full pads on Monday night. Just guessing, but that's just traditionally what we've seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're six practices in. We're starting to get a little bit of a feel about what this team is starting to look like, where the battles are taking shape. And it's been interesting, Fred.
Yep.
I've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah, so far, so good.
We're cranking through it. But that's going to do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with all the details from Sunday's action. In the meantime, check out the blog, check out Patriots.com, and we're going to be putting an issue together in the next few days, so look for that on your newsstands as well. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.